This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode on implicit bias. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Many companies and organizations have conducted implicit bias trainings for years to create awareness or to offer strategies to move beyond these harmful assumptions. It's not always a favorite activity among employees, but what's the experience like for the people conducting the trainings? What do they think in terms of how valuable this is? Alan Yu reports.
Andrea Lawful-Sanders runs implicit bias training around the country. One time she was working with a police district. She shadowed an officer for 6 hours. The officer is white, Andrea is black Jamaican. At the end of the day, he admitted something to her.
The gentleman that I was driving with this particular day said to me, when you first came to us and you said that both your children graduated from college and that they had never been in trouble, he said, I looked at you and said, this can't be true because I don't know any people of color that are successful and doing well without somebody giving them a leg up.
She says she was actually encouraged by what he said because it meant he was thinking through what he learned and trusted her enough to be vulnerable. The officers liked her training so much, they asked their superintendent when she was coming back. Evelyn Carter is a social psychologist and director of training at the diversity and inclusion consulting company Paradigm. One time she was talking to a room of mostly white people about the health impacts of microaggressions, subtle signals and slights.
And I remember locking eyes with a black woman who was in my training, and there were tears streaming down her face and she was nodding, and I feel very deeply a sense of responsibility when I am leading these trainings, that we're not just talking about abstract concepts like bias, right? It's not just this thing that happens out in the world. It has a real impact on people.
Sometimes people do not want this training.
Wherever we go, many in that group are somewhere between defensive and outright hostile.
Lori Friedel is a criminologist at the University of South Florida. She works on a team that trains police departments around the country.
They know they're going to fair and impartial policing training, and they think that we're going to stand in the front of the room and treat them all like racists.
She says their team gets around that by saying the training is on human bias, not police bias. Also, all their trainers are retired or current police officers. So the officers getting trained can't dismiss it as some academic parachuting in for a day.
This training is not going to cure a racist cop of animus towards minority groups, but it will inform the police officer of good intentions, that every officer is a part of the problem of biased policing and a significant part of the solution.
Right now, many organizations and companies say they want to create equitable and fair working environments. They offer implicit bias training as a solution. Calvin Lai is a psychologist at Washington University in St. Louis and an expert on implicit bias. He has been getting a lot of inquiries lately.
We have a research website where people can learn about implicit bias, and our traffic has just been through the roof. Every day I get different requests from students, ex-students, members of the public, and various organizations.
Employers are eager to do something, but does training lead to change?
If the goal is training to eliminate implicit biases, there's no evidence that that training works.
Tony Greenwald is a psychologist at the University of Washington. He is one of the researchers who helped coin the term implicit bias and developed the implicit association test. He says the training offers education. People can learn what implicit bias is and where it comes from.
Those are enjoyable and educational, but by themselves, they don't solve the problem.
He says real change goes beyond the training. It requires structural changes. For example, implicit biases often come into play when people have to make quick decisions. Tony and Calvin Lai recently reviewed implicit bias research and found that's one of the areas that needs to be addressed. Here's Calvin.
And so a lot of the strategies revolve around how to give yourself more time to think and how to kind of put guardrails on how you judge other people so that you're less likely to act on your biases.
Andrea Lawful Sanders agrees. She's the trainer we heard from earlier. She says for these trainings to have lasting impact, the commitment has to go beyond attending a few sessions.
This work is too intentional, it is too precious, and it is too tenuous for you to say, well, I'm going to train you for half a day, and that's the end of that. Mm-mm. And every time someone calls me and says that's what they want to tell them, then you have the wrong trainer, because I can't do it. You are wasting your time, my time, and your money.
She works with companies and organizations for years, and the process includes policy and culture changes. Say it's a school district. Andrea asks the administrators to pull out all their policies on race and bullying. Sometimes they don't have any. She makes it clear that organizations have to examine every part of their culture. Paradigm, the diversity and inclusion company, actually started out not doing implicit bias training, but doing that kind of work on systems and structures. Here's co-founder and CEO Joelle Emerson.
I was really motivated by the idea that change in organizations has to be systemic. That's things like hiring processes, promotion practices, performance management processes.
For example, one way to reduce bias in job interviews is to have structure, writing specific questions that address the job for all candidates, and asking the people who are deciding whom to hire to justify why they think one person is better, rather than going by intuition to avoid just picking people like themselves. But companies have to explain these processes. Their employees have to understand why they are doing this.
Maybe you have a form that you build and it's really thoughtfully designed and it's prompting interviewers to give reasons for their decisions about a candidate. Well, if an interviewer doesn't know why they're being asked to use that form and they just think it's an extra, you know, bureaucratic step or a formality and they don't use it, it's not going to have the impact we want.
Evelyn, the social psychologist and training director at Paradigm, says there was this one company that did the training, changed their recruitment process. But when it came to their take-home hiring exam, the people who came through were still almost all men.
What they realized is that every single person who had contributed to creating the take-home exam was a man. Now, I'm not saying that men cannot create a good take-home exam. But what I am saying is that for this organization, what they realized is that they had narrowed the input of who was creating these processes to such a homogenous group that it makes sense that the output was that only homogenous groups of people were the ones who were making it to the other end of that stage.
Right now, companies are interested in diversity, equity, and inclusion. Calvin Lai says there is hope that this isn't just a passing fad.
Is useful to think about this in terms of years and decades rather than something that will change overnight. Some of these inequalities are so deeply embedded in the fabric of our society when it comes to things like generational inequalities and things like income and wealth that there is no way that they can be done overnight. But at the same time, I think that there can be periods where there is dramatic change. And I think we're living in one of those periods right now where there have been a sea rise in increases in support for Black Lives Matter, in support for political changes in beliefs in systemic racism and so on, that we haven't seen in prior political moments like this one.